Unless you're actively seeking out non-toxic products, you are putting toxins on your body every day. It's legally a company's responsibility to make sure their products are safe. Their priorities are not always, let's make the consumer safe, it's let's increase the bottom line. If you look down at the bottom, there's these lip smackers with all the cartoons and the colors that you know a kid is gonna be drawn right to. And those are loaded with toxic ingredients. So they're purposefully trying to lock in kids.
Why do these daily exposures matter more than people realize?
There was a study came out, 50,000 people were analyzed, and a hygiene mix of products was associated with a greater risk of ovarian cancer. And then a beauty product mixtures were associated with a higher risk of postmenopausal breast cancer. There are alternatives that work just as good. You could use.
Hello, friends. Welcome back to Cancer Proof Living. I'm so glad you're here. I'm Michelle, an 8-year non-Hodgkin's lymphoma cancer survivor, a mom, and a certified integrative nutrition health coach. After cancer, I wanted more than just survival, so I built the healing roadmap that I couldn't find. Now I guide survivors and cancer-conscious humans to detox, rebuild, and thrive. In this episode, I'm talking with Andrea Darr, and we dive into low-toxin living, but specifically talk about makeup products and personal care products. We go over what brands to avoid, what brands to buy, EWG verification, fragrance, and the number one ingredient in makeup to avoid. This episode is packed with information that will literally blow your mind. I'm so excited for you guys to hear it. Andrea is a clean living advocate and founder of Switch Natural. Switch Natural helps women live cleaner lives by altering daily product purchases through an easy-to-use app. When Andrea found herself in a high-risk twin pregnancy in 2014, she was determined to eliminate additional health risks by switching to non-toxic cosmetics, cleaning products, and kids' products. Upon learning that these products are largely unregulated, Andrea started educating herself on ingredients and avoiding those associated with adverse health effects. Andrea created her app, Switch Natural, to help people make informed product choices without the added stress. The Switch Natural app scans products online or in store, no barcode necessary, to quickly identify potentially harmful ingredients, if any, provides relevant research about the ingredients, and offers clean alternatives. You guys, I'm so excited for you to hear this conversation. Grab a pen and paper because you will definitely need it for today's episode. And don't forget to share this episode with every woman that you know or that's in your life. They will be able to take away some sort of information from this episode and directly use it in their everyday lives. So please share this episode. You will not regret it. Let's get it started. I'm so excited to have you on today. I've been counting down the days. I love talking about low toxin living, and I really want to focus on personal care products, makeup products, you know, all the things that really affect women in general. So I was really excited for this conversation. And Andrea, before we dive into clean living and swaps and like all the fun things, I love to start with you and really understand what your personal connection is to this work. How did you get started in non-toxic living, and why are you so passionate about it?
Sure. So my journey started when I was pregnant with my twins. So they're 11 now. And at that time, I was doing what a lot of expecting parents are doing, kind of going through the checklist, getting all the things ready. And I can remember my husband not wanting to paint the baby room. I don't know why this sticks out in my brain, but it just triggered something. Like he said, oh, I don't know if you want the fumes around while you're pregnant. And it really just clicked for me. Oh, there's things in my house that could be not so great for the babies. And my pregnancy was really high risk from the beginning. It was a rare type of twin pregnancy. I spent most of it on bed rest. And I think I just felt like I wanted to control what I could in terms of reducing any extra risks. And so, of course, I was looking at food, and I've always really been into cosmetics. I enjoy them. And I started looking at the products that I was using, and things were not adding up because I would see an article, oh, talc could be harmful. And then if you go to baby registries, there's like talc baby powders everywhere at the time. And I realized there wasn't a lot of regulation. So what was being allowed in the products was just sort of a free-for-all. And honestly, I didn't know what all these ingredients meant. So I started just kind of tracking it. And it was like, once I had that light bulb that I'm not really protected by just buying what's on the shelf, I've got to figure this out. I started trying to learn what all the ingredients meant and then just avoiding the products that had those ingredients that I knew were bad in them. And it was just sort of this, I thought it was going to be, I'm just going to switch to pregnancy safe, baby safe, but it was not that at all. It was sort of uncovering this whole other world of the cosmetic industry, of ingredients, what they mean, what can we do differently. At the time, clean was not trending at all. So it was really difficult to find clean products. It really was just looking at the ingredients. There was none of the marketing was there. So you flip it over and you look. And that is still something that I do today. It's just a totally different climate, dealing with different problems. But that's really what got me going, was my pregnancy. And it's one of those things where once you know you can't unlearn it. You can't just turn away from it.
Totally. And it's such a lifestyle change, right? And it's once you can't go back, you can never go back once you know. And once you see the ingredients and things, what they're connected to, what they cause, you know, how harmful it can be to our body, it's really disheartening. It's really disappointing. And like, I really liked what you said too. You can't really just go to the stores, take a product, look at the back of it and just trust that it's going to be healthy for us. Like, that's just not the world that we're living in right now. We have to be our own investigators. You know, there's almost like there's no one looking out for us. So understanding key ingredients and what we want to avoid, what we want to make sure something has, you know, it goes on the other side of it too. And in participating in such a different way and taking control of your health, right? In an empowering way.
Absolutely. And it is disheartening, but I also think it can be empowering because we can make better choices. There are brands and products that are better. And then the other really important thing that I would want people to understand is, like you said, on the shelf, you can't trust. And that's actually, it's legally a company's responsibility to make sure their products are safe. And you have to think their priorities are not always, let's make the consumer safe. It's let's increase the bottom line. So there's a conflict there. And these are massive companies and they are doing whatever to increase the bottom line. If it means using cheaper ingredients, if it means using a small percentage of a product, of an ingredient that might pass the bar and be considered safe. But when you think about all the chemicals we're exposed to on a daily basis, we're inundated with them. And the ingredients on the back of a product are small. And if you look at them, there's easily 50 ingredients in a lot of products.
And it's like reading a different language. It's literally insane.
Absolutely. Yep. All that, no, I mean, this is not simple terminology. It's complex and you'd have to research each one to even know what it is or what the purpose is in the product. We just don't know. And consumers shouldn't have to learn what all of these things mean. But unfortunately, that's the situation we're in because we're just not protected by, there's low barrier to entry and companies can basically use whatever they want. There's a few things banned. I mean, in the U.S., I think there's 11 banned substances. And then you got to think about who's enforcing that, right? Is that really getting enforced? And then some countries have over 1,000. I don't think that any country is doing it perfectly and they're not comprehensive. Although, you know, U.S. is obviously on the lower end in terms of what they're actually banning.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I think it's beautiful that you've created this business and this lifestyle for yourself as you became pregnant. It's just the best time to make those changes and really understand, like, I'm growing life in my body. What I'm putting in my body truly matters and for the long haul. And then as you have babies and your kids start to get older and teaching them and protecting them, you know, I really think it's our duty as mothers for the next generation to educate as much as possible and show our kids, you know, what products to choose, what's right, what's good for our body, because, you know, marketing is strong and these consumer companies that we're going against, you know, there's a lot of money behind everything that people are selling, but really teaching this next generation and our kids to think for themselves, to understand how to navigate a label and to make better choices, it's a game changer. Because like you said, 10 years ago, 11 years ago, none of this really was being talked about as much. There wasn't a lot of options for lower toxin products like there is now. Now it's becoming more popular. Now it's becoming more of a theme and people are opening their eyes and becoming more aware, but it was not back then. It was totally different.
It really was. And I love that you brought up how this affects our kids, because it's funny. People ask me like, oh, how do you get your kids to care about it? And it's funny. It really just has become such a part of our lifestyle just to question. And it's not even a thing for them to just want to first just look and see what's inside. I mean, that's kind of the first thing. When we're buying food or when we're buying products, it's let's flip it over and see. And I think that's a good thing to encourage our kids to continue to question, because the marketing is so strong. And if you go to the cosmetics or personal care aisle, even at just like a large grocery store, Target, if you look down at the bottom, like on the low row, there's these like lip smackers, you know, with all the cartoons and the colors and that stuff that you know a kid is going to be drawn right to, that Dr. Pepper lip smacker that has the Hello Kitty on it. And those are loaded with toxic ingredients. So they're purposefully trying to lock in kids. And unfortunately, the products that are kids safe or even like baby safe, they have no additional regulations. They're just like the adult product. So you think you're buying a safer product because it's made for kids or made for babies, but it's really all the same. And so that's really.
And their toxic load then is starting to get affected at such a young age. And then, like, I have two girls. I have a 6-year-old and I have a 4-year-old. And my 6-year-old, she's in first grade. And she's like, take me to Sephora. I need a skincare routine and fragrance. And she wants hand sanitizer or fragrant hand sanitizer. And I'm like, oh my gosh, no. And you are 6 years old, but she's already learning it. It's on YouTube. It's on the shows that they're watching. But it's also at school with like friends and everything. They have these skincare routines. And I'm just thinking, how do I teach her better? And we work on it every day, right? And I obviously lead by example, but just understanding that our friends and the marketing, and like you said, going through the grocery store, even the grocery store, not just the cosmetics, but like the cereal aisle, all of the food, all of the sweet stuff is always on the lower levels to always attract kids.
It's to get them addicted early. And I think it's so good that you're there to counter that, because this Sephora Kids thing is really wild. And it's so strong when you see little kids on TikTok, you know, influencing with these products that are made for adults. I don't know if you saw there was a sort of a drunk elephant controversy, because it's really become a kid's brand, but it actually has adult anti-aging ingredients. I drove by a Sephora the other day and I saw young girls walking in, and it's just a totally different scene and customer base than when I used to go.
It's so crazy. It's so crazy. And like, I will say, like, my generation was like Bath and Body Works. Like, that was kind of like our Sephora.
That's right. Yeah, that's true.
You know, but yeah, I was like, now I'm very like cognizant of what my daughter's watching and everything. There's all these YouTube channels that are like, oh, Phyllis Stanley, go to whatever can fit my Stanley, I'll buy for you. And these girls are buying lipstick and eyeshadow, and it's all dye. And there's so many bad ingredients in there. And I tell them, like, we are not watching this. And you have to know, like, this is not reality. And you are 6 years old. You should not be wearing any of this. You don't need a skincare routine. You know, the best thing you can do is support your body in, like, different ways. But
yeah, and they can understand that when you tell them, oh, like, this could lead to that, or they're telling you this because they want to make money. Kids can really get that. And they're like, oh, and they feel like they know some important information. And I think they're more likely to kind of understand and make better choices when you can explain it to them, you know, what's actually going on. I mean, it really is, it's very confusing to them. And the other thing to consider is they're especially vulnerable because of the fast developmental periods they're going through. And so hormone disruptors that they're being exposed to can affect them down the line, could affect their fertility. I mean, could affect their risk of cancer, all of these critical periods that they're more sensitive even than we are as adults.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I think we're seeing that happen. You know, people are getting diagnosed younger and younger, and it's terrifying. And so I do notice too, when I was looking through, like, you're doing research on you and everything, you focus so much on makeup and good personal care, which I love. And I think it's so important. What do you think most women are completely missing when it comes to their makeup and making clean swaps?
First, I'll say I feel so passionately about products because this is a category where we have complete control. We can actually make a difference. There are environmental toxins that, like, on an individual level, you might not be able to change today in your life. But products is so, it's so obvious. There are clean products. I just want people to know, I want to scream it from the rooftops. There is a clean mascara. There is a clean foundation that you will love just as much as you love your conventional one. And I think a lot of people believe, or maybe don't know, here's the one, that so many products have unnecessary fragrance in them. So do you need your powder to smell? And you're putting it on your face and you're breathing it in. I think we are so used to having everything fragranced. Our trash bags are fragrance, our lipstick, everything is fragrance that it's really hard to get away from. So, and the important thing about fragrance is they have toxic chemicals that make the fragrance last. So one in particular that keeps showing up in these studies when studies are done on fragrance is phthalates. Phthalates are endocrine disruptors. They're linked to cancer, and we're just the constant exposure. So they're not like forever chemicals. They're not staying in our body, but because we're exposed to them so often and in so many ways, they're in everybody's body at all times. So if you could just avoid fragrance, you're cutting off this whole level of exposure in many, many products. So that would be one, I would say fragrance. I think another one is the preservatives that are in our products. So there are formaldehyde releasers. Formaldehyde itself is a carcinogen. And the way that companies make these products, they can make a ton of product. They can stick it on a shelf and it'll stay good for years and years. And it has formaldehyde releasers to preserve it. They release little amounts over time. Not something you want in your products. I would much rather a freshly made product that lasts a year on the shelf, 2 years on the shelf. I mean, we shouldn't be preserving our products in this way and adding this extra risk. So that's another one. I would say deodorant is really important. We are very used to antiperspirants and to not sweating. So antiperspirants have aluminum in them. Aluminum blocks the sweat glands, therefore prevents us from sweating and prevents us from smelling. Aluminum, we know, is associated with neurodegenerative disorders like Alzheimer's, but also more recently, they're linking it to breast cancer. So there's an association there, especially you're shaving your arms and you're applying antiperspirant. It's just an unnecessary risk. And I think it's one of those things where we've normalized not sweating. I mean, it's okay to sweat a little bit.
It's okay to sweat all the time. It's a huge detox pathway that we have in our bodies. It's how our body gets rid of toxins. So if you think about that, if we are sweating most through our armpits, you know, we don't sweat that much through our face or through our other parts of our body, mainly through our armpits. If we are blocking off that pathway, then we're kind of reabsorbing those toxins and they're not able to get out of our body, which is also then contributing to our overall toxic load. So it's so crazy to me.
Yes, absolutely. It's a natural body process and we're trying to just completely turn it off. Not a good thing. So I would encourage people to try. You might have to try. I don't know if you've had this experience. It was mine, and a lot of people tell me the same thing. They have to try multiple different non-toxic deodorants until they find the one that works for them. It's a really personal thing, but it's definitely worth just trying them out, testing them out, and figuring it out. Once you find a great one, then you're set. So
I literally, for 3 years, I spent so much money on non-toxic deodorants. And like, you know, things change and you get smarter every year. And that's kind of what my journey was. So I thought some things were non-toxic and then realized they had some fragrance in it or synthetic fragrance, right? And it took me a while to find a really good deodorant, but I knew, especially after my cancer journey, I knew that deodorant was such an important personal care product that I need to swap. Not only is it going directly under our armpits, it's going into our lymph nodes, and it's so close to our breast tissue. Like, that alone should kind of help open your eyes a little bit. Our skin absorbs everything that's being put on it. Finding and doing the due diligence of what deodorant you really like, I think, is one of the most important swaps of our entire body that we can make, or maybe the first one that you really can start off with because it's such a game changer. You're finding deodorants that don't have aluminum in them, so you're reducing your heavy metal risk, so to speak. You are letting yourself sweat, and people might sweat more when they stop using the antiperspirants because they're, you know, not used to sweating. Your body's like releasing. It's a form of detoxification. So it might feel awkward at first, but truly, I think it's one of the most important things we could do for our health is swap our deodorant.
Absolutely. I completely agree. I think that's so important. And then it kind of, yeah, really does open your eyes to all the other things. And one that I think is worth mentioning too, that maybe not a lot of women know about, is forever chemicals or PFAS and their role in makeup. So PFAS, PFAS, you might've heard of them. They're in nonstick cookware. They make the water bead. They're in water repellent clothing, but they also are in makeup. So products that are meant to last a long time or that are waterproof are more likely to have PFAS in them. They might not. There are some PFAS that are intentionally added to cosmetics. There are some that are not, might not be listed on the label. And so for that reason, I always just say, stay away from the water-resistant claim cosmetics, the long-wear cosmetics, foundations, mascaras, that sort of thing, because those more likely to have PFAS. PFAS are different from like phthalates and parabens, the preservatives, because in that they last. They're forever chemicals. They take a really long time to break down. They're so ubiquitous that they've been found in our waterways now, which is a reason I recommend filtering your water at home, your drinking water at least. PFAS are a huge problem. There's articles out every day about how they're trying to combat this problem of PFAS just being everywhere and affecting us. So I think there's no reason to have them in beauty products. I mean, really, like there was this advertisement that kind of won some awards, and it was a mascara where all these, they showed all the women putting on mascara before they went to the movies. They went and watched the Titanic and they all cried and they came out and their mascara had not budged. Like this was some amazing feat. And I just think, do we need that? Do we need to be able to bawl our eyes out and not have our mascara run? Do we need to be able to jump in a pool? I mean, I don't think so. I don't think it's worth that risk. I mean, if we're on a daily basis, it's okay to not have waterproof mascara.
Yeah. You know, that's such a good point about the forever chemicals. I mean, I know it's in almost everything around us, but I never thought about it in makeup specifically, but you're so right with all the waterproof and the beading up, the water beading up. That probably is the forever chemicals. And that's such a smart point. I mean, just reducing that or changing from waterproof to non-waterproof will probably help lower your toxic load at the end of the day too. And they're called forever chemicals for a reason. They stay in your body forever. It's very hard for the body to detox them out. Like it's a problem. Another thing I wanted to mention too about fragrance, I want everyone listening to know, especially the women, is that it's very unregulated. And the word fragrance, if you know, you look in the back of a label and it's just one word, it just says fragrance. But under that one word, it can house thousands and thousands of different chemicals. And we don't know what they are. We don't know if they're natural. We don't know if they're synthetic, because they're not, companies are not forced to put what the fragrance actually is on the label. It's not very regulated. So it's really hard to trust the word fragrance for that specific reason. And that's also another reason why it makes, you know, fragrance very dangerous. I also feel like I lose trust in companies when I see fragrance on a label and there's no parentheses explaining what the fragrance is or where it's derived from. That makes me lose trust, because I think if you're a non-toxic company or if you are really prioritizing low-toxin living and you're speaking to that audience, you will provide some sort of explanation and you will give, you know, what the fragrance is. Like nobody's trying to hide it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I think it's such a cop-out to call fragrance proprietary, and it's a huge legal loophole that they're allowing companies to hide ingredients from us. I mean, it just, I can't make sense of it. And I've just sort of become sort of impatient with brands that don't want it. They say, oh, it's proprietary. We can't tell you. How am I supposed to?
It's a red flag. It's a red flag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why do you think makeup is one of the hardest categories for people to change, specifically women?
Ooh, that's a great question. I think that we get really attached. Like I can still, and I have this post. I did it a long time ago on Instagram of like, I finally like went through all my old favorites and like tallied them all up. And I can remember I had a certain, the Buxom lip glosses, and I loved the Lancome mascara, and I liked the Chanel eyeshadow quad. Like I just loved it. And I thought it works well. And I thought that the other makeup, that clean makeup wasn't going to work and I wasn't going to like it as much. But what I have found, and I will say when I started this, it was much more of a process and there really were not there was not a good swap that worked exactly the same for all the products. But now I can confidently say that is not the case. Clean has taken over. There really is a good clean swap for everything in your makeup bag. Like, you do not need to be buying like the trendy, the name brands. Like, there are so many just great makeup has made a makeup in particular, I feel like, has made a huge stride in having products that just look pretty, that are the right colors, they have the right pigment. Like, I can remember when I started, I could not find a good mascara. Like, they all would just like pill up, I mean, almost immediately. And so that was one of the things that I switched later. And like, I guess that's another thing too. Like, if there's one thing, like there's a lipstick that you love to wear when you go out with your friends once on the weekend and you just can't part with it yet, fine. Like, maybe you have a blush that like you're not crazy about, switch the blush, you know, do the things that are make sense right now, because it's very overwhelming and almost unrealistic to ask most people to just throw away everything they're using and start over. Number one, it feels wasteful. Number two, it feels overwhelming and you might buy things you're not really into and then you're stuck with all this product. Like I say, if you feel in any way overwhelmed, just think about the next thing you're about to run out of. Or is there something in your makeup drawer that you're not even really crazy about using? Switch that. And I'll say this too. I actually use far fewer products now that I've gone to clean makeup. Like, there's so much that's just marketed to us that we don't really need, which is kind of weird. But once you start like looking at each individual thing and intentionally buying things that are not risky and that you love, you buy less. I don't know. It's just an all around better way to live.
No, I totally agree. When I went over to Lotox or to like clean makeup, I feel like I use just like three products over and over and like that's it. Like, I used to have just bags and bags of makeup, you know, and I would only use the same eyeshadow palette over and over. I would never use any of the other ones, the same foundation. So I feel like I agree with you. When I went over to clean makeup, I completely feel like I don't use half of what I normally did. And I agree with you too. I think that clean makeup is making strides like so much. There's so many decent brands out there. I love your advice, right? As something runs out, replace it. That's what I tell every client that I have. Don't let this be overwhelming. As something runs out, then slowly replace it or ask for samples or contact the company and see if you have samples, especially for like foundations and stuff. And I also tell clients like start with like the things that are impacting your skin the most, since our skin is our largest organ. So like foundation, right? Like that's going directly into our skin. Sometimes we even put it on our neck, that's going right into our thyroid, into our lymph nodes, right? Lipstick, we're literally eating it.
That's right.
We're literally eating it. So yep. let's choose like what we want to eat and put in our mouth. Like those are like the two things that I feel like are hardest to change, though. At least for me, foundation was really big because I never felt comfortable with like my skin. So I'm like, oh my gosh, like I used to love the Charlotte Tilbury foundation. I'm like, there's no way I can veer from it. Like, and you tell yourselves these stories in your head, like there's no way I can veer off from it. There's no way I can change it. But then you figure it out and you find a brand that really works for you and you feel so much better at the end of the day. Like you feel more control of your health. You know, you don't worry about it as much and it really gives you a different sense of like empowerment, I think.
It's a sense of peace, just like knowing that you made the best choice of what's available, the safest option that you like. I mean, it's a more streamlined, thoughtful, intentional way of living. And I think it kind of bleeds into other areas of your life. I think just intentional living is so important and with products, it can actually be enjoyable. You can discover things that you like even more. And I think part of the reason you buy less too is because so much of what's out there is just not, it feels like a very wasteful and repetitive industry in a way. I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds of the same shade of eyeshadow with the same talc and toxin and dyes in there that you shouldn't be putting on your skin, but companies just keep pumping them out. It's not good.
And not a lot of people are talking about it. So I've heard you mention talc a few times, okay? So It's something that really alarms me from a cancer prevention standpoint. Can you explain why talc is so concerning and where women are most commonly exposed to it?
Yes, this is almost like, how much time do you have? Because this for me, for some reason, this one just is really bothersome. So talc, there's several big things. I'll see if I can boil it down. Talc is mined in an area very close with asbestos. So when it gets mined, asbestos can be in it. And there's no 100% certain way to know the talc that is in your makeup product is asbestos free. Asbestos is a carcinogen. It causes mesothelioma, which is a type of cancer. It's also linked to ovarian cancer. So, and they've actually found talc in ovarian cancer tumors. So embedded in the tumors. And I think the reason that this bothers me so much is because the industry has known for so many decades. And the companies that use talc, one being Johnson & Johnson and their baby powder, has pushed back, has hidden the evidence, has just totally taken over the narrative of talc and tried to convince us that it's safe. There's actually a book that I recommend. It's called No More Tears. It was done by an investigative journalist. He went through incredible detail about talc and the origins and why it's continued to be used. I recommend reading that. But in terms of beauty products, I am blown away that I continue to see it in beauty products, because there's been thousands of lawsuits against Johnson & Johnson in particular for their talc baby powder, but the beauty companies are still using talc in powders and foundations.
What does it do in it? Does it thicken it? Like, what is the point of using it?
Yeah, so it's a mattifying, softening agent. And so there are alternatives that work just as good. Like, you could use cornstarch, you could use kale and clay, give that soft finish. And it's just cheap because there's so much of it in the earth. It's just a cheap mineral and brands are using it. They don't want to change. Like, I posted about Laura Mercier's powder has it. The one that came out in the 90s that everybody loves, the loose setting powder, still has talc. She came out with another version that doesn't have talc, but still sells the version with talc as well. And that one's a different name, but the original still has the talc. And what's interesting too is just this last year, the EU has taken it a step further and is saying, we believe that talc itself, aside from asbestos, is a presumed carcinogen. So I think that there will be movement there in terms of how much talc is going to be allowed, just because I feel like that's a really bold statement. Talc itself causes inflammation. It has all of these problems, and it just makes no sense that we would still be using it in our everyday products.
It's so wild. I'm still always bewildered when I remember how unregulated our cosmetics are and how you can kind of throw everything and anything into them. And no one's getting a slap on the wrist for it, especially when they're clearly tied to cancer or chronic diseases that people are being faced with over and over. Obviously, like the Johnson & Johnson, I'm super aware of that. That's been very public. They've been under scrutiny for talc for so long now. And it makes me so angry too, because if you think like baby powder, children, babies, you're putting this on babies. In that, I don't know, having a compass around it.
Yeah, you think about a diaper change, you know the baby is inhaling it. And, you know, so many people put it in their underwear every day.
Oh my gosh. Which is makes sense on why it's, you know, directly linked to ovarian cancer, right? Not only is it a hormonal cancer, and, you know, a lot of our cosmetics and personal care products, you know, are very much connected to hormonal cancers. But when you're putting it in such a sensitive area, you know, it's going to manifest or land in that area as well. Are there certain products that contain talc that people don't realize or would never think contain talc?
Yeah, foundation. So even liquid foundations have it, which I think is not worth the risk. I think people have sent me pictures of their supplements. It's just so widely used.
Oh my gosh, that's so scary. You know, and that's the one thing too. You could think that you're doing everything right and making these changes and taking your supplements and doing a great job. And then you don't turn the bottle around and realize there's talc in it or seed oils in it or something like that. And it's just, you're being exposed to something over and over. It's just so, it's so sad.
Right. And it shows you what a stronghold the industry has and how in control they are. And so I think the takeaway I have is that it really is up to us. It's up to us as individuals. And I feel responsible knowing this information, and I know you do too, to share it. Because I think if we collectively understand and know this, we're going to purchase the better options, and then companies are going to make more of it. So I really feel like that's where we can make a difference. If they're going to do what they are going to do to make money, and if we stop buying it, then maybe they'll stop making it.
Yeah, we have a greater responsibility as consumers in what we're choosing. And it really starts with information and spreading that information and understanding why we need to make different choices, because it will force them into making different products.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So I want to ask you something. It's a little bit more controversial, but I want to hear your thoughts on like EWG verified products, right? So for anybody out there that's listening, EWG stands for the Environmental Working Group. It's the same EWG that puts out the Dirty Dozen list and the Clean 15 list for the fruits and veggies and the produce that have the most and the least pesticides in them. They also have a great app and website that give you all of the details around ingredients in soaps and personal care products, and they have their own verification. So if you go to the store, there's some shampoos, conditioners, hand soaps that will say EWG verified. And they're kind of known for having a very stringent verification process where they take into consideration the consumer. It's more making things for the people, not for the companies. And it's a symbol that a lot of people have grown to trust over the years. We know a lot of people look for the EWG verified products, but I've noticed in some EWG products, there's still fragrance allowed, and it's very confusing, and it feels like a huge red flag to me. Like, what are your thoughts or experiences on that?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the verified products are problematic because they're not just in the business of the consumer. They're in business for businesses. And I think that it's problematic for the reasons that you said. They're verifying products that have ingredients that would be a red flag. And what's really confusing to me is sometimes there will be ingredients that are not rated zero. And then there will be a verified, and zero for them is they're green, like all good. And then there will be verified products with those ingredients in them. But they're not telling us, like, why? Why are you okay with it here in this? Why is this product okay? But then we're saying it's risky over here. So there's a mismatch. And I think that's really confusing. And I think if you blindly go on the verified and you're not really looking at the individual ingredients, you might be getting a false sense of security. And at the very least, it's not transparent why they're verifying or saying they're okay with this ingredient in this particular product. And that bugs me that it's not transparent, and it could create this false sense of security for consumers.
I agree. Because I tell clients too, at the end of the day, like if you feel overwhelmed by the labels and if you see the EWG verification, to trust in it. And 9 times out of 10, I do think if a product is EWG verified, it's so much better than a conventional product, no matter what. So you're already lessening your load if you're just like starting off in your journey. But someone like me who's like so knee deep in it, I'm like, okay, well, this has the verification, but it's saying fragrance and why? And, you know, not saying, like you said, it's a false sense of security around a product. And it makes me think twice about it. Do you buy EWG verified products?
So, you know, there are products. Sometimes I agree these products are fine. And then other times I don't. But I kind of feel like if you're taking that extra step, if you're going on your computer or your phone, you're looking it up on EWG, you're seeing if it's verified. It's like, if we're going to take that many steps, you might as well just look at the ingredients instead and just be sure. And I think that they do put out some helpful information. I just, the verification part, I don't trust as much, I would say, just because I've seen inconsistencies. Like there's an ingredient called phenoxyethanol, and I think I can't remember what they rate it, but it's not a zero. And there's plenty of approved products. Like you mentioned the fragrance example, but there's plenty of approved products that have it in there. And they say, oh, we checked it out. Well, you reach out to them and you don't get a response. Well, what does that mean you checked it out? How are you comfortable with it? So are the companies just taking the money and saying, okay, we're going to verify, check? You know, it leaves you to wonder. So it's not a perfect system for sure.
Okay, but I know you have an app. So your company, Switch Natural, right? Tell me about your app and why your app is a little different from EWG.
Sure. So I really built my app. I guess, you know, I was telling you my story, why I started switching to products. Well, all during that time when I was pregnant and when my kids were growing up, I like was keeping track of all this research. I knew I wanted to launch a blog, and I just thought that is how I'm going to share this information, because I know other people have the exact same concerns that I have, and I need to get this out there. And I started a blog in 2019. I started my Instagram account, and I developed a really close-knit community quickly. It was small, but I mean, I'm DMing with these other moms, other people that are really concerned about what they're using. They're like, oh, is this product okay? Is it not okay? Why is it not okay? What ingredients do you see here? They're sending me snapshots. And I was just like, there needs to be a better way, because at some point, there were so many messages that I couldn't get back to people before they checked out at the checkout line. So I was like, I had this idea for an app. And at the time, I was still just researching each ingredient. I wanted someone to be able to have everything that I had on my side just in their hand. And my frustration was that I think that people need to have direct access to the research. They need to be able to tie it back. Like, I don't want an article to tell me this ingredient is not good and just trust that. So I built my app. It has a database of ingredients that I am continually updating when I find ingredients that are harmful or new research comes out. I write a description into each ingredient that ever gets flagged with the link, so you can see what the potential risk is and so that you can make the decision. I'm not ranking ingredients. I'm not ranking products. I'm simply giving you the information. Okay, for this product, these are the ingredients that have potential risk. So check it out and figure out if that's something you want to use. And then I also offer alternatives of clean products that you can buy instead if you're not sure where to begin. So that's in there too. It was really out of a desire to answer those two questions for people. And it's really amazing. It's really taken off, and it's really amazing to see how it's changing people's lives. It's sort of incredible.
Oh my gosh, for sure. No, it's so smart. It's so needed. It's necessary. I love that it's research-backed and it's tied to research. I'm such a research person. Like, I don't take anything by face value. I'm like, let's see the research behind it. And just, it's just a different perspective, right? And I love that you're not telling people, like, okay, this is okay, you can use it. Everyone is bio-individual. My sensitivities are different than your sensitivities. What you can handle is different than what I can handle. So we are able to weigh those decisions on our own and still feel empowered by making, you know, the choices that we have, but still have all the information at our fingertips. It really is so smart. And I think it's so necessary and it's so needed. And you always do a great job with giving swaps. And if you have to check out her Instagram, she has so many amazing swap ideas for everything. And I love to see that. Like, it's just so great, because it gives people the ability to make the changes already. When you know what an easy swap is, don't buy this product, buy this. Then it's like, okay, it's safe. I don't have to, some people just don't want to have to think about it. Think for me, just tell me what's good. And like, that's like a great place to start too. So
yeah, that's right. If you don't want to dig into it, and you don't like, I think you got the full range of people out there. Some people just tell me what to do. And I hope that I can be one of those trusted people. My sister still calls me, tells me what to use. Or she just uses my app, but she trusts me and knows the research is there, and just doesn't want to dig into it. Just wants to make the switch. So I try to meet people where they're at and with what they need, just so that they can start making steps in the right direction. Because it really doesn't have to be so hard. There's a lot of people like you, like me out here, that are really into it and digging into this stuff. So lean on us, you know, let us help you.
For sure. I'm so excited to use it. Tell me how it works, your app.
Okay, so it's different. So it's not a barcode scanning app. That's first and foremost. And also, disclaimer, it does not scan food or supplements. So this is for your cosmetics, your skincare, your cleaning products. So you'll find the ingredient list if you shop online mostly, like I do. You can find the ingredient list on the company website, take a snapshot on your phone, open up the app, pull up the photo. It'll go right to your camera roll. You upload that photo and press scan, and then it's going to show you if there are any potentially harmful ingredients. It's going to list them out in a bullet list. If you want to learn more, you can tap on that ingredient. It'll give you my description of that ingredient, why it's harmful, and then beneath it are the links to the relevant research that you can click through. and learn about those ingredients. If you're in the store, you can take a picture of the ingredient label. And so it's going to read that and pull out any of those toxins that way too. So you can do it both ways. And that way you're not limited to a barcode scanning app is different because it's limited to a database of products. And particularly when I built this, so many of the products that I was looking at did not have barcodes. Or I was shopping online and I found that really problematic that a lot of stuff I couldn't find.
That's true. When you're shopping online, you can't really do that. Yeah, that's a really good point.
And ingredient lists do change. That's another thing to keep in mind is you want to get the ingredient list from the product itself or from the company website. I've seen this particularly at like Sephora will have dated ingredient lists and sometimes the databases don't get updated, you know, with the apps, but also on the retailer side. So I think this is the most accurate way to scan.
Okay. So then in your opinion, what are some key ingredients that you really are mindful about when you're looking at the back of a bottle of a personal care product? Like if you see a couple and you're like, I know I'm not going to trust this, or if it has this, I know I'm going to put it down. Like what are the ingredients that really stick out for you? I know you mentioned like phthalates. I think you mentioned parabens.
Yeah, phthalates, parabens, talc. I mentioned PFAS. If you see the word fluoro, that's usually an indication. A lot of these words are really long. You might not recognize them, but F-L-U-O-R-O is one. Carbon black is in like eyeliners, mascaras. That's one you want to avoid. Definitely fragrance across the board. Oh, big one is chemical sunscreens. Most of the sunscreens out there have chemical UV filters.
That's next on my list to ask you about. So that's a good transition.
If you look at sunscreen, it's the way, at least in the US, they have to be broken out by active and inactive ingredients. So the active ingredients are going to be the ones that are doing that sun protection. And if you see anything other than zinc oxide there, it's a no, because then it's going to be one of the chemical UV filters that we know it's proven get absorbed into our bloodstream, can affect our hormones. Those are no good. And the FDA, interestingly, has said the only ingredients recommended as safe and effective are zinc oxide and titanium dioxide. I prefer zinc for other reasons, but these are the mineral sunscreens that don't get absorbed. But if you look at what's on the market, most of them are chemical. So it's crazy. You know, the FDA actually is giving good guidance here, but the companies just are not following suit. So you do not want chemical sunscreens. Another one that's easy to spot is an ingredient called PEG is often how it's listing. And I mentioned...
Oh, I've seen PEG for sure.
Mm-hmm. It's polyethylene glycols. Those are ethoxylated compounds. Ethoxylated compounds it's a process that they go through called ethoxylation, and it can produce byproducts that are carcinogenic. So 1,4-dioxane and ethylene oxide. You might have heard about this with laundry detergents. New York State actually tried to crack down on this because they were finding alarming levels of these contaminants in laundry detergents. What ended up happening was they basically slapped a fine on them and said, oh, if it exceeds this threshold, then you have to pay. So I don't know if they really stopped using ethoxylated ingredients, but that's a whole nother story. But PEGs are also in cosmetics. So that's an easy one to spot that if I see that, I'm like, no.
I've also seen ethoxylates in Rinse Aid and dishwasher tablets. Like that's where I'm really familiar with them with because I know it's directly connected to the gut barrier, your gut lining. It destroys that and creates chronic inflammation within the gut too. So, which we know is, you know, everything for immune system. And a lot of the quote unquote more natural products like seventh generation and things like that, they have ethoxylates in their ingredients. So it's very much greenwashed. So I really do think that is a really important one to know. So PEG and ethoxylates, like knowing that, I didn't know it was a carcinogen though.
Yeah. So the way they make it, it produces 1,4-dioxane, and that itself is a carcinogen. And there's a way that they can strip some of it out, but it's not usually done. And I just think that why are we messing with it at this point? You know, we already had the detergent call out. There's clean products that it's just unnecessary. And some of the other ingredients that are ethoxylates end in ETH. So like Lorith is one, and that's another one that's in some of the seventh generation products. And the seventh generation products also have, it's a mouthful, methylisothiazolinone and basically that one with benzo in the front.
That's literally is like you're speaking another language.
Yeah. And that was like the allergen of the year, several years. So, I mean, and that's another type of preservatives. So those tend to be greenwashed. I would agree with that.
Okay. So that's good to know. Especially for personal care products and makeup products. And I always tell people too, like if you see, actually I learned this from a friend. If you see one of these like danger zone ingredients, there's probably more to follow. So yeah, it's kind of like a good rule of thumb where if you see one, so don't feel like you have to go out and memorize everything that we're saying. If you see just one, PEG, right? Just pick one or phthalates, then you know, okay, there's more than likely something else in there and I'm just going to avoid this altogether.
Absolutely. If you can have like five, like if you just remember five and you'll see because they are used commonly and they'll just alert you. I think that's such a good tip.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get back to sunscreen for a second. So I feel like people blindly trust sunscreen or don't even think twice about sunscreen. I also think we're both moms, we know this too. It's like drilled into our head that we need to put sunscreen on our kids at all times, right? I actually have stopped using a lot of sunscreen. Like I pulled back on it a little bit. Because I had chemo, I'm more sensitive. My skin is more sensitive, so I do have to be careful. But the ingredients that specifically concern you about sunscreen, you mentioned.
Yeah, so we've got oxybenzone, octisalate, homosalate, avobenzone, octocrylene.
What do these ingredients do to your body? Like what makes them so harmful?
So they get absorbed. They're endocrine disruptors. They get absorbed into our bloodstream and they can impact our hormones and our hormone receptors or our hormone receptor sites. And so these are one of those things where you just don't know exactly what is going to be tied to what. It's like a chemical soup where there's no reason to be exposing ourselves to them. I think that some of them have been also linked to breast cancer cell proliferation. That makes sense. I think that's homosalate and octocrylene. The other interesting thing with octocrylene degrades into benzophenone, which is a carcinogen. And so all of the octocrylene sunscreens that were tested in this one particular study, they all had benzophenone contamination in them. So over time, that happens. So that, I mean, that is one that definitely shouldn't be used. You probably have heard of oxybenzone. That one is common in that there's been a lot of talk about that one with the reefs and that the environmental sort of thing. That's one you want to avoid. Avobenzone is often used. That one was believed to be safer at one point, but it's also being absorbed into the bloodstream. And zinc oxide, you know, to contrast it, has been used for decades and decades as diaper rash cream, and it's safe and it doesn't get absorbed into the bloodstream like all of these other chemical sunscreens do. So to me, it's the no-brainer that we should be using this ingredient. Also, people tend to be more, like you were mentioning, more sensitive to chemical sunscreens. They tend to, you get that burning feeling or the stinging in your eyes when you sweat, that sort of thing. And the zinc oxide is generally calming on the skin. So I think that it's harder to formulate with. And it's more expensive, and that's why brands are not relying on it. It's just easier for them to make a clear sunscreen with these chemical UV filters that are risky, honestly.
Yeah. So what are some of your favorite like sunscreens that you use?
So I feel like it kind of cycles through, but for the last couple years now, my family's been using the Badger Daily SPF 30 the most. It, for some reason, like it's just not too drying. We tend to like ones that are not too drying. It rubs in fairly easy. My kids don't complain too much about it. That's kind of been our go-to.
That's my go-to too. And I love that they have like, the ingredients are so clean. They have so many different, they have the stick for like the kids' faces and stuff, which is super easy. Like it's so family friendly. And I feel like it's so clean and it's been rated really well. So I'm glad to hear that.
And I wanted to show you this. Like we were talking about the sunscreen ingredient. So on my app, there's like a little, like an eyeglass. So I was drawing a blank on one of the chemical UV filters. So I'm typing in homosalate there. And so this says, so it gives the description and it's going to say homosalate is a UV filter that's been found to increase estrogenic effects on Michigan Cancer Foundation 7 human breast cancer cell lines. And then there's a link to that study.
That's the link. So that's the correlation between the two.
Yes. So if you're looking at an ingredient, you're like, I'm not really sure. You can just look it up here. So I've got octisalate and I've got octinoxate.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Because even if it's sunscreen or makeup and you're like, what is this random ingredient? You can just plug it into your app.
Yes.
So smart. Oh my gosh. I'm so excited to use it.
That was something that I added on later just because I was like, I think this would really help people that are like really digging into the ingredients.
Yeah. And I'm sure the app is like, as it will continue to change and conform and grow as your audience does. And as you realize things that you need for you and your family and, you know, how, you know, friendly you need it to be and, you know, the different areas that you want to grow into with it too.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just updating an ingredient the other day. It's what's really nice as I built it in a way, if a new study comes out, like I can update it and it will go into the app in real time. So I go into my database, I like add the study or change the, I wanted to update my talc descriptions because when the EU classified it as a carcinogen, so I updated my description, I added some documentation there and it's in everybody's app immediately. So like that has been, that's, I'm really glad that I did it that way. I want to be most up to date.
So is this app just for people in the US or is it an international app as well?
So it's international. It's basically available everywhere the App Store is, all the countries that are there. So most ingredient labels, especially on cosmetics, have what's called international nomenclature INCI names. And so they can be scanned. But if it were in, I have had a situation where someone had a list that was in a different language. And what they did was they just Google translated the page and then scanned that new list. So the app is not, so you won't get an app like with the words of my app written in another language, but you can use it in other countries.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay, so what are some of your favorite makeup and skincare products, I have to ask, that you personally use and trust?
Sure. Okay, so I'll just go through some of the things I have on today. So for face wash, I absolutely love this Manuka Honey Face Wash by a brand called Oil. It's spelled OY-L. Amazing. Skincare is hard to recommend because everybody's skin is so different, but That's for me. I love that one. I also love the Pretty Farm Girl Rose Toner. I use that. I have on the RMS Beauty Cream Foundation. I mix it with, this is so funny. I mix it with Lemon Rose Sea Buckthorn Oil to make it. I really am needing moisture these days. And so I'm finding.
Your skin looks so moisturized and so beautiful.
Oh, good. Thank you. I'm doing a lot to try to help that. I find as I get older, I'm needing to add product and layer throughout the day. So I mix in that oil, which is lovely. I use Lily Lolo bronzer. I like the RMS highlighter. I use a Lily Lolo blush. I love the Fit Glow lip liners and lip serums. They have a bunch of different colors and I find them just to be so moisturizing. And she has one too that is a clear that you can do overnight or just if you like clear. I use, what else do I have on? I have on the Fit Glow eyeliner. I have on Ilia mascara.
Do they do liquid eyeliner or is it crayon eyeliner?
It's a pencil, but I do. There is a gel eyeliner that I like too called Ritual Defi, but I'm just using the brown pencil today. I like Kosas eyebrow gel. I think that's everything I have on right now. But yeah,
that's good. No, that's a good variety.
I tend to like different products from different brands. But there's, you know, and that's the other thing too, is when you're looking at products, I would not just say like, oh, I love this foundation from this one brand. Let me buy everything. A lot of brands, even ones that are like doing a really good job, might not have every single product in their line as clean. So they're like maybe five products are, but two aren't. So I always recommend like scan each product, you know, instead of just like going with an entire line.
That's a good piece of advice. Yeah, that's true. That's 100% true. I see that all the time on different websites and everything. Some are clean and some are not.
Right, right.
So if you could recommend a few starter swaps, what would they be?
Which category?
For makeup. Like if somebody is like, okay, I am using all conventional makeup right now. I really want to start doing non-toxic makeup. Where do I, like, what should I start with first?
I would say start with the thing that you're not totally attached to. But I will say this. I have a friend, my best friend. She was obsessed with the MAC powder. I think it's like a cult favorite. It's called, is it Foundation Fix maybe? And it's a compact that's a powder. foundation combination thing. And I got her to switch to OG Mix One, like a powder foundation mix. And at first she was like, I don't know about this. And then I saw her a month later and she's like, I love that stuff. That is, thank you so much. And I was so happy because that MAC one had not good. I mean, it had talc.
MAC is horrible. Yeah.
MAC is horrible, but I was so excited that because she is very particular and she's not going to use something unless it works. And I get that. Who wants to switch to something that looks bad?
No, because then you don't feel confident. You know, makeup is supposed to enhance your beauty, make you feel confident, feel good about yourself. And it's like, you don't want to have to compromise that, you know, but you also don't have to compromise your health at the same time.
Right. Right. Absolutely. So that's another good one I think I would throw out there for someone that, you know, maybe really likes the conventional MAC stuff.
Okay. So then what are some of the worst makeup brands that are out there that you would never buy or you would want people to stop buying because you know that they're so contaminated?
You know, Charlotte Tilbury, not great. CoverGirl, kind of all the names I would think that you would think of. Like I was mentioning that Laura Mercier powder. There was a Wet n Wild eyeliner recently that I saw got recalled in the UK. And I was like, I just can't believe this. I mean, it had carbon black in it, which to me is one that there's just no reason to be using that anymore.
I was going to say like Chanel.
Oh yeah, Chanel's bad.
Clinique, Bobbi Brown, NYX. Elf. I know Elf is bad too.
Elf. I found toxins in Elf. All the ones you just listed, I've definitely found toxins in.
Okay, guys. So if you're listening to this and you are using those, try some different low toxin products. Get some samples out there. Like it's such an easy swap to make once you get started. I think the hardest part for women is to get started with makeup because we're so attached to it. Sometimes we're emotionally attached to it. Sometimes we're using a product for like decades and we're like, no, that's my favorite, but we have to start somewhere. So then I guess in your opinion, what would be the first category that like a woman should change when it comes to lowering like their toxin load? You know, is it skincare? Is it food? Is it cleaning products? Is it makeup? Like what category do you think is most important or most influential to our health?
I really go back to it's whatever you can do. And one that we did not talk about a lot is cleaning products, but I think it can be really impactful to do things like stop using Glade plugins, stop using fragrance detergent. I mean, when you think about detergent, our skin is in constant contact with fabrics. So the detergent that you use is really important. And one of the things that I noticed when I switched, and a lot of people tell me this too, is like suddenly their skin feels better. They're not itching. They're, you know, irritation goes away. So that is huge. That's a really big one. And starting to get those smells out of your system, then you become much more sensitive to when you are exposed to it. And then you can realize, oh, my lipstick smells. These things will get stronger and you'll be repulsed by it, honestly.
No, I completely agree. I wanted to ask you too. I saw this commercial the other day and it was for laundry pods. And I'm like rolling my eyes. And then as I'm watching the commercial and it says, oh, paraben free, phthalate free. I'm like, oh, okay. Like that's great. But then at the end of the commercial lists all the different scents the laundry pods come in. I'm like, oh, okay. So clearly it's not, but please clear this out for me. I always thought that if you have fragrance, you have phthalates because phthalates help the fragrance stick to you, your body, your clothes, your hair, whatever the case is. So in my opinion, I'm like, okay, so they might be saying phthalate free, but they're replacing that phthalate with something else that does the same technique of making that stickiness happen. Or can you actually have phthalate free and fragrance coexist?
Okay, so that is a great question, and I'll give you my thoughts on it. I also want to mention that you said, you know, it says phthalate-free fragrance, paraben-free. That to me is like red flag number one. If they have like a lot laundry list of free claims, you probably need to look because they're just leaning on that. Like we don't have this, but they have that. And then when it comes to fragrance, so I think there is a couple things going on. I think there could be phthalate-free fragrance. So there's two kinds of fragrances. You have synthetic fragrance, you have natural fragrance. So long time ago, fragrance was all natural. It's isolates from essential oils. It's parts of them put together to make a nice scent. To me, that's the safest option if you're going to wear fragrance, because it's natural and because it's been used for a long time. We know we have a better safety record here. These newer fragrance chemicals, it's like they'll come out with a new fragrance chemical. 2 years later, it's proven it's bad. It's replaced with another one, and then another one, and then another one. So synthetic fragrance in general to me is red flag. When it comes to phthalates, phthalates are intentionally added, but it's possible that a brand doesn't even know their fragrance has phthalates because there's an ingredient called alcohol D-net that's used in a lot of fragrance, okay, and a lot of fragrance blends, even like not just perfumes, but also fragrance blends. And it is regular alcohol, but they cut it with a denaturant so that they don't have to pay the beverage tax, okay? So it's like adjusted alcohol. One of the things that's used to denature that alcohol is phthalate. But it's not listed. So if a brand buys perfumer's alcohol, phthalate might not even be listed. And this is my theory on why so many fragrances have phthalates, even though maybe they're not saying they have phthalate on the, you might not see phthalate on the label, even if they're disclosing some of the other things. So I think that, like you said before, fragrance in any capacity is just going to be phthalate free or not. I just don't think we can trust it.
What are some of your favorite personal care brands?
Personal care. Okay, so I like Humble deodorant. I like Tallow body butters and body oils. I'm not big on body lotion just because I feel like oils are so much more moisturizing. I love Pretty Farm Girl bar soaps. I know a lot of people like body wash, but I'm huge on bar soaps. And it was one of those things where I kind of thought, oh, you just need any clean bar soap. But once I switched to hers, I was like, wow, these are incredible. My skin feels softer, better.
Oh, I'll have to try hers. I haven't tried it. Yeah.
She makes a nice body butter too. What are some of the other body products? So Humble deodorant, the body butters and oils. What categories am I forgetting?
No, I think you hit them. Like, I'm not thinking of anything else. Okay. Can you, from your perspective too, and please like remind our audience, right? How does reducing toxic exposure in makeup and personal care fit into long-term health and cancer prevention? So really like, why do these daily exposures matter more than people realize?
It's because they add up. Chronic exposure, low-dose exposure over a long period of time can increase your risk of certain cancer. So there was a study came out about what I refer to as the cocktail effect. I actually posted this today. So 50,000 people were analyzed, and a hygiene mix of products was associated with a greater risk of, I think it was ovarian cancer. And then a beauty product mixtures were associated with a higher risk of postmenopausal breast cancer. So they're saying that individually, these chemicals may not be harmful. Like you can't pinpoint one, but together they're increasing your risk of certain cancers over time. And
wait, so they said that the hygiene mix increased your risk of ovarian cancer?
Yes.
And the makeup and cosmetics mix increased your exposure to premenopausal breast cancer.
Postmenopausal breast cancer, yes.
Oh, I've not heard of that study. It's very interesting. I mean, not surprising at all, but very interesting.
And what I've observed is it's so difficult, I think, because it's not like you put something on your skin and then something really bad happens the next day. So it's really hard for people to understand. But there's just more and more research and information coming out showing, you know, sounding the alarm. Like we might not be able to tie every last bit together, but we have enough information to know this is not good and that it increased our risk. And it kind of goes back to what I was saying before. It's like, there's no reason. It's not like we don't have the option. This is not something we need to live. And to make it even easier, these products are wonderful that don't have these harmful chemicals in them. So it's sort of the no-brainer for me. If there's things that we can do to reduce our risk that are not, why not?
Right. We'd be crazy not to, right? Well, this was so amazing. You are such a good source of information. I'm so glad that we connected and you're able to share your expertise with everybody, because as we were talking about offline, it's so important. This topic of conversation and for cancer prevention and for prevention of reoccurrence, it's so incredibly important. You heard her say how these chemicals, these ingredients can directly relate to our toxic load, which can accumulate and lead to chronic disease. It's just incredibly important. Okay, I have a couple of rapid fire questions if you're up for it, and then I promise I'll let you go. Okay, what's one ingredient you'll never use again? I think I know the answer.
Talc.
Talc, yep. One product category that's more toxic than people think?
Makeup.
Okay, one swap that makes a huge difference very quickly?
Laundry detergent.
One myth about clean beauty you want to debunk?
Okay, how do I want to say this let me see if I can say this in a way that...
You do not have to be PC. You can say it however you want.
Don't trust... Marketing is a scam. Marketing is a complete scam. Clean means nothing.
Don't trust the companies, basically, out there.
Sorry.
And what's one thing you wish every woman knew about her makeup bag?
There's a lot of toxins in there. Unless you're actively seeking out non-toxic products, you are putting toxins on your body every day.
I love it. I totally agree with everything that you're saying. This was such a fun conversation. Tell everybody your Instagram handle, where they can find you, your website, your app, like everything.
Well, thank you so much for having me. Like this, I love this conversation and I so appreciate you amplifying this message. So I am on Instagram all the time. My handle is @switch.natural. My website is switchnatural.com. I've got tons of information there. I've got free resources for you to dive into, more of the digestible content on Instagram. And then of course, my app is on the App Store and on Google Play.
That's amazing. No, you guys have to go to her Instagram, follow her, information. It's so digestible. It's such a great word for it. I like binged out on it a few weeks ago. And I just, you know, it kind of like you learn a lot, but it also confirms what you already know. And the swaps and all the stuff, and it's not just makeup and personal care. She has other swaps out there for nutrition and for water and like things like that. Like there's so much there. So thank you so much for joining me. It was such a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you for doing all the things you're doing.
Thank you.